Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Kino Tri Show. Whether it's ratchet or inspirational, dope or disturbing, let's talk about it. You never know who'll stop through. This dude's worldwide. So kick your feet up, relax, and let the libations flow. It's the Kino Tri Show. All the cool kids are listening. Don't be a Stanley.
Yes, what's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Kino Tri Show. It is Tuesday, I think September 22nd or 25th or something like that. I forgot.
That'll work.
It don't even matter. I got my partners in crime. I got Jameel, a.k.a. Young Beige, in the building.
What up?
And Stephen knows he has blessed us with his presence.
Yes, it's actually September deuce.
Deuce. Mm-hmm. What you know about a deuce?
I know everything about deuce. Don't worry about it. Keep the show rolling, you know. Don't ask questions like that now.
Oh, see, back up off me. And we got a very special guest in the building. We have Tony Neal, owner of Salon Theory.
What up,
of Atlanta.
Though?
What's up?
What up, though?
I'm glad you're here, man.
Bless you. About to set trip.
I know, right? She's throwing up gang signs in here.
What up, though?
That's that Detroit right there. That's Detroit.
Detroit. Oh, shoot. D-Town where you get beat down. You can buy property in Detroit for like $1 a plot or something like that.
I think it's like 50 cents.
50 cents?
It's 50.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to Detroit. But you have to be a resident, though, right?
I don't know.
All you need is a cousin or somebody put it in their name.
Exactly.
That's how we do.
Just come up there.
Phone bill and some property.
You can own a whole block.
Proof of residence. That's all you need.
$3.
$3. $3, you buy the block for 50 cents.
A whole block.
Yeah. I've been. When was the last time you went to Detroit?
Oh, my God. It's
Oh, you ain't from Detroit, boy. I don't know if Hertz is renting Prius is sitting on Dubs. But I did roll through some of the neighborhoods, and I did see that every other house in the hood was abandoned. And I got to sit on the porch because my best friend is actually from Detroit.
Oh, okay.
And I got to sit on the porch with his grandmother. I saw grandmother's homegirl. She left for a minute to go meet the weed man, and came on back.
You know, who might be her grandson, by the way?
I'm not telling. Just in case he listens, why you put my grandma on blast?
Right.
But you know, she run the block. She run the yard. So
I'm from Indiana, and I've never been to Detroit. I've been to all the cities.
What part of Indiana?
Indianapolis.
Okay. If it was Gary, I was gonna tell you it's the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. But I've been all over the Midwest, but I've never made. When I think of Detroit, I think of bubblegum colored gators.
Bubblegum colored gators.
Just bubblegum, not green.
Like green, bubblegum, purple. Like, cause they would come to Indianapolis during our like classics and expo and stuff, and them cats would be sharp. But you'd be like, where are you getting them colors from?
Right.
Straight from Detroit, though.
Of course.
Gator boots. Is that what we're talking about?
That's the trend.
Gator boots.
I just want to make sure I'm still part.
We talking right
okay.
now.
Okay. Okay.
And did you catch the bubble gum? You know, black people can't say normal colors.
It right.
always has
be
to
bubble
be associated
gum.
With something like
really?
Bunny green.
Alligator
know.
Green.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Sky blue.
Is this true?
Sky blue, baby blue. Yeah.
Right. Easy always hit you with a dope color.
what's the song? He said he drove something same color as orange juice.
Oh God.
I don't know.
Tropicana, same color as Tropicana orange juice. Yeah, I forgot some car I couldn't afford. So I won't be driving a Tropicana colored Charger or nothing like that. I can't.
Right.
Yeah, paint jobs are stupid. So, how's the hair business these days?
It's good. It's good, darling. It's good. You know what's really cool is coming down to Atlanta and taking over. You know, Detroit is known for the hair.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Atlanta is known for lots of people moving here and not knowing what to do with their hair. So, it works out well.
Yeah. Not just Atlanta. I've traveled a little bit.
Well, let's just say these people down here can actually afford it. How about that?
True. Yeah. True that. True
yeah.
that.
Different.
Because when you got to get the $18 weave from the Korean store and slap it on the best way you can, that
there
it's
you
not,
go.
That's not what's hot in the streets.
You got to glue it, staple it, tape it, something.
So how did you get in the hair business? What day did you wake up and say, you know what?
You got to do the backstory, man. You got to you're acting like you don't know who I am. Like
I do know
background.
Who you are.
Like I start off broadcasting,
okay,
and then you just wake up. Okay, so the truth is, Keno and I have known each other for, like, 52 years.
Yeah, 52.
52 years.
Let my age go. Let my age go. Yeah, I marched in the Civil Rights Movement. Yeah.
We met on MySpace.
MySpace,
you remember that?
Yep, MySpace.
And he says to me, are you storing nuts in your jaws for the winter? Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, she has some cheekish.
I have, like,
so that's how you introduce yourself. Hey, yeah. You put nuts in your mouth.
Right. What's and I was it? Like, this guy, I got to know. And it's been like this ever since.
Yeah. Like, we've had arguments.
Tried it on Tinder. Hey, baby, you got some nuts in your mouth.
Right.
Because your cheeks are big right now.
Right.
No?
And it, nuts.
And it was so odd because we went from MySpace to Facebook
yes.
and continue arguing.
And he was
it,
stalking me, y'all.
I wasn't stalking you.
Stalking.
I used just crack jokes. That's all.
Yeah,
I was like,
all day.
Crazy person.
Yeah.
And actually, you know what's so funny? This was some years ago now, but I logged into MySpace just to see if it was still up. And there were several people on there that I was friends with that I know today. And it was kind of weird. Like, MySpace was just weird. Like,
yeah.
I guess it was new to yeah. social media. So everybody was just friending everybody.
Yeah.
And it was just, oh, black people. Let's
right, yeah.
Let's
oh, he's
us.
Funny.
Yeah. yeah.
The worst part about MySpace is that top eight, because you were not under top eight.
Right.
You
were
dead.
Dead to them.
Oh, I forgot about the top.
And then they expanded to 32 and 64.
Yeah, but honestly, I just checked my MySpace yesterday, y'all.
Am I still on there? Do I still have an account? I don't know.
I didn't check, but I had a top eight, and I guess a couple of people deleted themselves. So I had like a top five.
Oh, wow.
I don't even remember none of my stuff.
No.
MySpace is, when I did log in 5 years ago, they've reinvented themselves. They look more like Facebook now.
Yep.
I don't know
yep.
why.
Yep.
Well, I think Justin Timberlake bought it out, didn't he?
Bieber? Justin Bieber?
I don't know why.
Oh, that was Timberlake.
So now it's more geared towards music and stuff.
Yeah, it's geared towards music.
Yeah,
yeah.
Uninvent themselves.
Just disappeared. Nobody
archived that joint. It was, the 90s were a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Early 2000s.
I knew this girl from high school, and she used to brag that she was like out on every new social media. She was one of the first. She'll say stuff like, I was the third person on Black Planet, and she's proud. Like, okay.
What does that do for you?
Yeah, I don't know.
How's that credit score? Does that do
right.
for you?
Got
you
few,
got a job?
Got her a few baby daddies. I do know that.
Right.
Got that social media pain in her. I'm sorry.
It ain't cute.
So let's start at the beginning. Detroit.
So, yeah, Detroit. I started off doing hair a long time ago. I actually did in high school, probably even middle school. And I grew up in a foster care system, so it's kind of weird. But one of my foster moms, she was a stylist. She was a cosmetology teacher, in fact. And so I learned everything I could learn from her. Then you go to school and you start doing the French rolls. Remember the French rolls with little balls?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, little ponytails.
Steve, take notes.
I had a corn roll, don't worry about it.
You know, we used to glue in some tracks, you know. It was cute back then, and then you just move on. But I went to college, and I got into broadcasting. And, you know, 14 years later, I came back, and I went back to hair. And hair has been so good to me. Like, I cannot complain.
Yeah, I see. I was like, on Facebook, I see her. I was like, if she posts another picture with a celebrity, I'm just going to have her come on the show. Like,
I want to know what happened to where you doing broadcasting so well, and then all of a sudden you want to do hair. I want to know what happened there.
So I did. I used to be in news. If anybody knows anything about news, if it doesn't bleed, it doesn't lead.
Right.
And if you are in news constantly, you eat, you breathe, you feed, you sleep, everything is news.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bad news.
Yeah,
constant.
Yeah,
yeah. It's the 5 o'clock blues. Like, it's constant.
Right.
And you take that home with you. And when you take it home with you, you start becoming depressed. And I remember
when 9/11 happened, and you're kind of like in the background just holding your breath, like, okay, is the building going to fall? Is it not going to fall? Is it going to fall? Because if it falls, I get like 2 weeks of overtime. And that's how you're conditioned. Isn't that crazy?
Wow. Yeah.
That's
wow.
exactly like if you got an election or something crazy happens, you're just like, oh, great, two more days
Bush called him a nigga. I get overtime.
Yes, exactly. So 9/11 happened. I was just like, you know, and maybe I should just like, not do this anymore.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. Wow. And I've been doing hair probably ever since, maybe about 5-6 years.
Oh, okay.
So I got back into it.
Okay. So did you have to go get certified?
You know, you do that when you're young.
Yeah.
So I did that when I was like 16.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So that never expires. Is it hair license or something?
Yeah, you just get it transferred down here and you keep it moving. But you have to like take your classes and all that other good stuff. But lots of people are in the industry, you know, they want to do hair and they don't know where to go. So we help them out.
Oh, cool.
I got a friend who was in news, and now she's a flight attendant because of that.
Mm-hmm. It's negative. I'm not going to hold you up. And I'm telling you, I used to be like, dang, I need a drink. And I didn't drink at that time. I was like, I need drugs. Because at the end of the day, you're so tired of bad news. Like, it's the worst. And that's all that I did was just bad news all day.
I saw a movie recently. Was it Nightcrawler?
Yeah.
Have you seen Nightcrawler?
Mm-mm, no.
Oh, my God.
That's not about the guy off of X-Men?
No. It is literally about a guy who chases stories. He's freelance, and he chases news footage. And the worst, like she said, the worse the story, the more the check. And it just ended up where he got linked with one specific news channel, and they were driving him to get the blood and gore.
Yeah,
it was kind of
creepy. You lose your soul because you're chasing people. You got a person who just lost their child, and you're literally chasing them to get a sound bite. How do you feel now? You know, like, where are you going to go now?
I see the blood on your shoulder.
Are they going to go to Disney World? Like, what's really going on?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Golly.
That's pretty
deep. As a audience member, that should be common sense that that's how it is, though, because that's how they show.
Yeah.
Like, when I go to my grandma's house, that's how she watches. Or when I go to one of the barbershops I go to, like, the people get angry when the owner puts the news. Like, why you put that bull crap on?
Yeah.
Because you could just feel your aura just...
Yes, everything just...
sinks.
Yeah.
Well, I took a psychology, I think everybody did, but I heard that pretty much the bad news on the news is because when you watch it as a person, you want to feel better about yourself.
Yeah,
so you always want to watch something that's...
Like, at least I didn't get robbed today.
Exactly.
At least I didn't get shot today.
But it's what's funny is that I'm more attracted to, like, the feel-good stories, though, because there's so little of that
I think
now.
Most people
but
are
check this out. The feel-good stories are always put at the end. Those are called fluffers, right?
Oh.
And if you run out of time, fluffers go. But if you don't have anything going on that day, nothing's, you know, shot, burned up, fluffers, you know, become like some of the main stories. But again, if there's a bunch of stuff going on, they'll just knock that out.
I seen one story. They was talking about a cat getting saved from a tree. Like, really? You ran out of that much stuff to talk?
There's Trixie in the tree.
That has to be the story that probably nobody wants to see these days. They've been doing the cat in the tree thing since TV came on.
The cat got up there. The cat can get down.
Right.
He's not getting down because you in his face.
Yeah. If he's hungry enough, he's going to come down.
Yeah. But if you go to another country, it's never like that. It's never like, you know, shim up, bang, bang. It's always about leaders and, you know.
And I noticed the difference because I'm from Ohio, and when I first moved down here, it was intriguing to me to watch Atlanta news. And I was like, this must be the real big city news because it was just murder after murder, after stabbing, after killing.
You would be scared to come to an ATL. Right. I'm telling you, my aunt would be coming, baby, are you going to die today? And I'm like, that's just the news.
My family asked me about that sometime. My family friends from Indianapolis, and I'd be like, I don't see none of this stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm not like in bourgeois Atlanta, Alpharetta.
A lot of that stuff happens in Gwinnett, for real. Like,
Gwinnett. So.
Gwinnett is way worse than Atlanta.
It's definitely off the chain.
It's scary.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You get all that time in the suburbs, man, you know? I had to get out of there. I just moved out of there, you know?
I'm stuck on 85 again. I'm killing somebody.
I ain't about that life no more.
I had to go to the hood where it's safe.
Right.
I don't know. I mean,
I swear to God, that's exactly what it is. So I live in Grant Park, and nobody bothers you. But you go to Gwinnett,
Oh, yeah. It's going down in Gwinnett.
Right.
And actually, in Dunwoody, I see Channel 2 and Channel 5 is always in Dunwoody. There's always some crazy stuff.
What's going on in Dunwoody?
Hey,
police right up the street.
Hey, don't be confused, brother. Cause,
what, they at the mall shoplifting or something?
No. And I'll say this. I lived in Dunwoody maybe 6 or 7 years ago, you know, a few exits down from where I'm at now. And I stayed in this. I was leasing a condo, and it was gated. Like, it was hard to get in. I came out because I had a poker game. I walked somebody out to the car, and there was police tape all around the scene. And the police came running out like, what you doing? What you doing? It's a crime scene. I'm like, what the hell? And I looked, and there was a man laying flat on his back, dead. And then I looked. I had two cars at the time. Both my cars had been shot up.
Damn.
And this was in Dunwoody, where I was paying crazy-ass rent. Mm. And it was just crazy. So it doesn't matter.
Where you at?
So at least
somebody got a hair up their ass. Somebody getting shot.
Right. At least in the hood, you kind of expect something to happen. But, you know, I guess it's worse when you don't expect to happen.
Yeah, you got your guard down.
Yeah, you got your guard down. So that's why I back in everywhere I go. If you see,
so you can get a quick getaway.
Yeah, hey, if you see black dudes, we back in.
That's
we don't
old Detroit yeah. playing stuff right there, yeah. bro.
Hey, we
you
back
turn
in.
Turn the music down there, don't you?
Yeah. Hey, I gotta
see what, those license tags.
I gotta see what's going on around here. But cool, we're gonna take a little break. So the people listening online, if you want to call in and talk live to Tony Neal, the number is 607-203-5368. Make sure you press 1 so that we know you want to talk, and we will let you talk. So just give us a few minutes. We'll be back. You're listening to the Keno Tri Show.
Y'all ready for this?
Right. Dr. Dre, kick it.
We are back on the Kino Tri Show. We took a little break, listened to the DOC. You ever heard of DOC?
Yeah, Dr. Dre.
He's a
moving on to the next question.
Yeah, see, I got it. Dr. Dre, DOC.
It's not the same person.
No, it's not. See, that's why I said moving on to the next question. But you throw yourself back into the hole.
What do you mean?
Two different people, man.
It's two different people.
What do you mean? I guess that's his nickname,
give
Doc.
It up. Just give it up.
No. Call him Doc. No. I would just call him Dre. You know, I don't know why you call him Dr. Dre.
See, that's two different people. The DOC and Dr. Dre are two different people. The DOC was just who was rapping.
Yeah, that wasn't Dre.
That wasn't Dre?
No, it wasn't Dre.
Dr. Dre has
He's
always
his doctor's
been Dr.
confused.
Dre.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you have your physicians mixed up. Your,
yeah.
Look, when y'all rap, look, when y'all rap, all y'all sound like, all right? So,
when y'all rap, y'all.
During the break, we were talking about the Emmys and how Taraji P. every time someone black got, I guess, nominated or
mm-hmm.
actually won an award.
Mm-hmm.
That's my baby. That's my baby.
She was a little extra. She was a little extra. And
That's okay.
We talked about like high school graduations. Like, actually, there was a case in Georgia where a whole family got arrested for being too loud and catcalling at a graduation. Black people, when we accomplish things,
it's a big deal,
and we're gonna let everybody know.
You use the bathroom, baby. Right. You use the bathroom. Party time. Party time. Yeah.
So,
step over. Let me check your bag.
Shout out to Roger P, but Steve was telling a story. Yeah, tell the story, Steve.
Oh, yeah. Well, you guys, these people were telling me how, I guess black folks always have to get a little extra loud.
Right.
Catcalling at the graduation. And what happened with me was that at my brother's graduation, I learned how to whistle really loud. So when I...
Is that with the fingers?
Yeah. With the fingers and everything. So what happened was... when he went up, I said, I whistled really loud, made a loud noise, and then the black people next to me were like, hey, man, could you do that for my son? And I was like...
He was taking a collection of whistles?
Right.
I was like, wow, yeah.
That'd be 50 Cent.
I feel so privileged.
He said, he was included now.
Right, he got a ghetto pass that day.
Yes.
I gave back to the community.
Right.
You know?
Whistle at a time.
One whistle at a time.
That shit ain't gonna help you now, Steve.
Oh, it will.
But
someone starts running at me. I start whistling.
Yeah,
watch
right.
me. I'll scream.
But back to the Emmys, Viola Davis, who's an excellent actress, she won a Best Actress for to Get Away with Murder. Is that what it's called?
How to Get Away with Murder.
And immediately the hate came from a young lady or an old lady. I think she's an old lady. Nancy Lee Graham from General Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
She came out and said something like she didn't love the speech and that... Chandra Rhimes should have wrote it for her or something. And then went on to say some old racist stuff about it wasn't like she's Harriet Tubman or something.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't like she's out there
digging tunnels. Yeah.
Yeah. So and she went on to say more about that she's been discriminated against, too. Almost like
being old.
Right.
Or stupid.
Right. Like she's going through the same struggle. Like all women have been belittled
right.
and all that in Hollywood. Kind of like, the Black Lives Matter
mm-hmm.
and All Lives Matter people. So.
I saw that. So this is my take on it. People don't really understand how difficult it is to be an African-American woman, period. It's like it's just one of those things like a 300-pound gorilla on your back every day. You put on, you strap on, you leave the house. I'm black. You can never get out of it. You can never get past it. And then Viola, okay, she's not the most, what's the way I can, how can I put this, Kano?
She's not warm. I mean, she don't strike me as warm. She seems like that
she's
auntie.
She's very strong.
Yeah, yeah. She seems like
she's
that auntie that whoops everybody's ass if something get broken.
And she'll give you a speech about it.
Right.
Yeah. Like, yeah, this is why I beat you.
Yeah.
You were cutting up in school.
Right, right.
Yeah, I think that, you know, she's not by, I guess, regular standards, like, the most beautiful. But she there is beauty in her.
Right, right.
And, yeah, you know, she has to fight. I mean, she's dark-skinned. She's a woman. She's starting to get older. So, like, those roles are getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
And she's doing a natural hair thing, which is big, too.
Yeah,
so
and she's
don't...
doing the natural hair thing.
Right.
And she's taking off her makeup on national television.
Woo,
what was
now,
that about?
Now that... I don't know. She better take a sign from Oprah. Oprah keeps that makeup on, and rightfully so.
There's been a couple of times she's taking it off. But, I mean, it's difficult. It's very difficult. I mean, in business, too, it's difficult as an African-American woman because they're always looking for the man, like, oh, is the guy coming? is Mr. Tony coming here today? No, it's just me.
My wife often complains that in certain situations we're in, they automatically come talk to me rather than her, even though we might be at the dinner and she's treating, but, you know, I'm like, hey, y'all need to talk to her.
Right.
She's paying this bill.
Right.
This time,
so. She has pants on tonight.
Right. So
she borrowed the pants.
Yeah, I understand it. And when I read what Nancy Lee Graham said, it was kind of offensive to me because I understand, like, you can never compare yourself to the struggle, especially of a black woman.
Never. I just think that you should just get permission now. Like, just Caucasians, just go call your black friend and just say, hey, do you think this is cool if I say this?
Right.
And then they're going to be like, absolutely not. Or, yeah, you cool. You got the card. That's right. What I think, Seth.
Well, white women are strong these days. They are strong in their opinions, and they don't have any problem letting you know. Like,
that's because they date black men. That's
you know, here's what I'm confused about the whole thing. First, I've seen a little bit of it, and the way it's a good thing that she won that award, right? But every time white people give us something, we break down and be like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing, she's broke history.
Right.
In 2015, why are we still dependent on them to validate us? You in an industry that depicts ancient African history with white people. Why do you expect anybody to give us any type of credit of any type of validity?
Yeah, validation.
Validation. I mean, y'all can do that all you want, but...
No, but you're right. I agree with you.
But
it's because
every
that.
Time somebody steps up to say something, somebody white is always going to say something, and then we flash out, oh, my, she said this. I can't believe she said it. Why can't you believe it? This is America. America was built off of racism, and it's still going on today. And until we as a people grasp our resources and put them together and create our own stuff, we're going to continue to have these problems, and we're going to continue to be complaining about them and passing on to our kids' kids.
Right.
No.
Well, all right.
On top of that, is that how about I never watched a BET award in my life. How do people act when they receive a BET award?
Oh,
well, 30 people get on stage.
Right. Right.
I like to thank God for cutting this new MF record.
But they're not like, you know, what he was saying, like, you know,
no,
crying, thanking every, you know.
Well, they don't have to go through. You just got to say a bunch of bull crap and you'll get an award on the Hip Hop Award.
Okay.
But, you know, when I remember when Halle Berry won her with the Oscar.
Oscar, yeah. Uh-huh.
And she broke down in tears, and I understood because she worked so hard to get that. But you worked so hard to get into an industry that hates your guts.
Right.
And they gave you that award off of having sex with a white man. That wasn't your best work. Training Day was not Denzel's best work. Glory was Denzel's best work. Malcolm X was Denzel. Harlem, what's that, the one with Wesley Snipes?
Oh, shoot.
Blade.
Get out of here. when he was the jazz singer, was it Harlem?
Mo Better Blues.
Mo Better Blues.
Yeah.
That was better than Training Day. But they give us the awards for
stuff. We get awards when we depict people that make them feel good about themselves.
Right.
So,
bottom line.
Yeah.
So, and you look at, what's that? Not Mel Gibson.
So, if we're a prostitute, a thug, or a slave...
Or the maid.
Or the maid. That's a role that makes them feel good about themselves, and that's when we will get rewarded. So, yeah, like I said, the bottom line is that, like you said, if we have our own, we can give our own awards, and we can put out our own material. You know,
I was to get an award, I would expect, all right, so let me hear all the niggas from everybody. I'm not going on social media.
Yeah, they're going
to. Unless I have my own stuff, and then I'm like, hey, this is Jamil Television. Yeah. You can't say nothing.
So I think what we're missing is the fact that the benchmark is set by Caucasians.
Right,
and it's
right.
like if you're at this table with a bunch of Caucasians, you're at the table with a bunch of Caucasians and you're waiting for your handout. You're waiting for
right.
your place.
Right.
And I think that's what we're missing. If we were at a table with a bunch of African-Americans, yeah, it'll be different. But they can control this whole... I mean, you know I'm about to be on a show. They control all of this stuff. And so you're just sitting there like, just recognize me. Just
right.
recognize me.
Right.
Recognize my greatness. Recognize that I can do the same thing, if not better, than you can.
Right.
And give me an award for it.
Yeah, but when you got people that spend $1.3 trillion annually, we can create our own stuff.
Yeah, we
so
can.
We don't
but we lack
even...
a lot of organization,
we
though.
Do.
I mean, you
yeah.
guys know that.
Because
yeah.
it's not
even running a business is like, oh, my God, pulling.
And down. That's why we had a keynote try show. That's why I'm here, and I'm trying to break the mold. I'm trying. But, I mean, it is. It's the media that I can control, we can control, and
mm-hmm.
we can put out our own content. And I don't have to wait for the Howard Sterns and the other people to give me validation. I can we.
Now,
I
once your show gets big and Viacom come asking to buy it,
uh-huh.
If you say yeah, this is gonna
no,
be
I,
shit quick.
No, you know we talk about that all the time. No, I would never sell out. I rather make $1 million on my own and be independent than get $15 million and have a boss and be controlled. So
easily said than done.
Yeah, yeah. When that money comes, be like,
yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Like, you remember what I told you?
Right?
You know, I was
is this
bull.
Shit real?
Right.
I'm about to go to Vegas and put it all on.
Right. All back.
Keno's no. back, baby.
Right.
I mean, but knowing what I know now, like the younger Keno might have, you know, knowing what I know now, I know that I can own and control and invest in myself. And, you know, the sky's the limit because I saw a Master P interview on The Breakfast Club,
mm-hmm.
and he said he turned his first deal was for $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
He said he turned it down because he know if they offer me $1 million, I'm worth $40 million.
Mm-hmm.
And he understood that about himself. So hopefully I have the same understanding
mm-hmm.
and
deep.
Yeah, I have
thoughts.
Really?
Well, really, as long as you social, if you're consciously aware, you will make that plans. Because I mean, you look at just talk about integration and pre-integration. You have.
Oh, are we doing? Are we humming now?
You had the Black Wall Street. You had Rosewood. You had Charleston. You had Wilmington. You had all these places where blacks as a group flourished. They had their own business, their own economical infrastructure. And as soon as integration hit, all that went out the window. Now, prior to integration actually hitting, you had people that had that foresight to say, hey, we don't want to do that.
Right.
Because if we do that, we're going to lose all our stuff to where we can make the decisions and make the moves that's best for our children and our legacy. So now that you have that understanding,
yeah.
I would have faith in you somewhat.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put 100%.
It all comes down to white acceptance. That's basically what it is. Getting a pat on the back from Mr. Charlie. That's what we all look for. But with that being said, going back to the Emmys, I just wanted to give a shout out to a few of the other women who won. Regina King.
Love her.
She won Outstanding Supporting Actress in a miniseries.
Right.
And that's American Crime. I have yet to watch that.
I have not seen it either, but that.
Is that when she's a police officer?
No. I think she's, yeah, she's like a Muslim or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Shout
yeah,
out to Regina.
She was a police officer. She was just.
That I got guess, canceled.
Yeah.
That was 7 years ago,
I
mean, man.
TV, so I...
You know what? I actually met Regina King. This was several years ago. I was out in L.A., and I was hanging with a guy, and we went to play basketball at Universal Studios. And Universal Studios, I guess a lot of people don't know that if you work, you know, for, I guess, a big film company, whatever, they got everything you need on the campus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that thing is a complex, almost like a college. So they got full gym, trainers,
mm-hmm.
basketball court, everything. So... we're playing basketball, and Regina King pulls up. And back then, that's when the drop top CLKs that just came out. Till Green. I mean, Shotty was stunned. And so she got
rightfully
out
of, so.
She right, right, right.
Flexing
so,
hard.
Right. So she got out of the car, and I don't know what possessed me to say this, but I walked up to her and said, hey, can I drive your car? And she looked at me and rolled her eyes and said, no, and walked right in the building. I was like, hey, you know. All right, Brenda, don't be acting like that. You know what I'm saying? Oh, 227 ass.
Right.
And you didn't at least say I'm just playing a
right.
right.
She didn't give me time. Like, she, no.
No.
Right. No. and walked in. So Regina King picked up an award, and I don't know if I can pronounce this chick name. Uzo.
We just call her Crazy Eyes.
Yeah, Crazy Eyes. Yeah. Udo Dubon or something.
You're she not won, getting any help
outstanding
from
me, supporting actress in a drama, and that Orange is the New Black, and I have yet to watch that.
That also. Show is freaking hilarious.
Why do you say a drama? Is it supposed
it's
to be a drama?
Dramedy.
A dramedy.
It's
okay.
A dramedy. Yes, drama comedy.
So it's. Let me guess. What she's a lesbian, right?
She could be.
On the show, her character.
Yeah, she. I think all of them practically are lesbians.
She's a lesbian. Does she have a drug habit?
No.
Okay, I'm trying to cross out all the things that would get her an award. You know.
So no, she's born with a disability.
Oh, she's crazy.
It's called crazy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
She was. I guess she was foster care or adopted or something by white families or something. White family and. And she hits her head like this, and, you know, she
and
makes
she still
porn
ended up in jail with white privilege, with a white privilege pass?
No, you should see her hair. That hair is a crime itself, honey. Seriously, it is.
So shout out to the black women who are out there doing the thing in Hollywood. And shout out to Sanaa Lathan, that movie she's in, The Perfect Man or something like that.
We talk about it.
Yeah. She's gorgeous.
And I don't like the fact that they got the light-skinned brother being the stalker. That's usually the dark-skinned brother.
That is not.
Light-skinned brothers, we ain't got to stalk.
You
know what I mean?
You look a little light-skinned over there. You know her?
Yeah,
they don't have to. I seen him
on the commercials, all up under the bed and stuff. I'm like, hey, play again. Mm-mm.
Oh, watch out! Here we go.
No, you thought about 1987.
Oh, young Dave done took off his glasses. Go.
Everybody at this table is light skinned.
Yep, even Steve's light skinned.
Right,
Asian,
real light skinned.
I just got a tan, too, so this is pretty dark.
And he's hollering at a red bone. Tell her about your red bone, Steve.
Ooh. I don't want to talk about that red bone, though, man.
You got a red bone?
She's crazy now, man.
Oh, she's crazy?
She's crazy.
She's crazy. Most of them are.
No, she ain't crazy. She think she better
I hope she's
than
not
everybody.
Listening. God, I hope she's not listening.
Hope she's not what?
Listening. You might not be dating a red bone anymore.
See, that's the thing. This is a red bone. She ain't going to care about what the hell I do. She got her own thing going on.
I don't know. The new and improved red bones do. They stalk and check.
I know.
Texas.
Red bones under the bed now.
Right.
The perfect
Clearly. You might want to go check your phone.
Well,
put that passcode back on it.
I guess I'm dating the wrong red bone. Golly.
What happened to the good old red bones that didn't care about anything?
I still want to know, why is it called a red bone? Y'all still haven't answered me that question.
I'm still trying to figure that out, too.
Why is it called a red bone? Why can't we just call them light-skinned girls?
That's a country thing. That's a country thing.
It is?
Yeah, I don't
red
know
bones.
How it started.
Well,
but, you know,
I would imagine it's the same premise of redneck. So in the summertime, we outside, we get red.
Yeah.
Oh. Hmm. Why is it red bone, though?
Why is it down to the bone?
Urban Dictionary, here I come.
Uh-oh.
Does that mean that she's light-skinned and skinny? Like, you see her bones? I don't know if that's sexual.
I don't know. Does my daughter qualify as a red bone, or is she just high yellow?
I saw her. It just depends. If she in the country, she's a red bone.
I don't know.
If she's in the city,
yellow?
She's high,
high yellow.
Yeah.
Just high yellow.
Don't worry about yellow.
That's just out of. That's just. A
but
whole
you're
nother,
gonna learn today.
That's a whole nother show, right? Yeah.
You know, you're gonna learn today.
That's a whole nother show. All right.
Actually, Steve is popular amongst African Americans. I've done some shows with Steve, all black audience, and he murders it and actually gets phone numbers after the show. They be
What's
checking
that?
For him. Red Bones, them Chocolate Sisters, everything.
Black women do like me. I don't know why.
He said you don't know why.
They want pretty
hair babies.
Pretty
hair
babies.
They want the pretty hair babies.
With the good hair.
Oh, okay.
The good hair that don't break home.
And that skin too.
Yeah. Pretty hair.
Pretty hair, yeah. With the nice eyes. Don't forget the eyes.
So what does your research say about red bones, Steve?
Okay, so it has something to do with being part Native American. So this is what it says. A specific brown to reddish skinned people of Louisiana with dark eyes and straight, frizzy, or curly hair. They are often thought of as a triracial people of Native American, African, and some form of Eastern or white.
Oh, that's Creole. That's
right.
Creole. That's
one. No,
okay, wait. Red bones are not necessarily Creole or Cajun. They traditionally speak English. It's
that means nothing.
That means they speak English.
Everybody's about to be red bone. Everybody's changing. Everybody's light skinned now. You notice that? Everybody's got like three nationalities, like minimum.
Yo, that's my favorite. Put all of it in the blender, and I love that, man. I love that. Seriously.
So
get the best from the world.
And to get rid of racism, I've heard somebody say, I listen to a lot of internet blogs, and I've heard a guy call into a show and said the way to get rid of racism is everybody sleep with everybody.
That's what they did in Brazil.
Yeah, true.
That's exactly what they did in Brazil.
Still in Brazil because the lighter complected people, no matter where they go, they feel like they're superior. So racism will never end.
We got
as long
some connects
as
down there.
Well, it's funny you say that there, young beige. Because what's funny is that here in America, we pride ourselves on being tan, right? But when I went to...
non-black.
When I went to Vietnam, actually, to be tanned is actually looked down upon. And I didn't realize that. And then I found out why. It's because a lot of these places...
Western influence.
A lot of these other places, third world countries like Mexico and all these other places... That means if you're tan, that means you work outside.
Yeah.
That means you're in
poverty. That's the same as
poverty.
A house Negro and the field Negro.
Yeah,
I would have
been a field Negro.
In Asian, when you go back to the Asian ancient history, they were black. They were like darker than Kino and me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some documentaries that talks about how they literally left Africa and they ventured up like the M7, M6.
Well, I believe everybody's from Africa. That's where.
I mean, you guys can dance really well.
You know.
I'm just saying. Y'all got that on lock.
It's funny you say that because when Steve pulled up and he had the bandana on, I was like, we filming a Beat It video. He had on the fitted windbreaker and the bandana, so yeah.
No, but what's funny is that going back to that was that the light skin being dark in Vietnam is that we ride motorcycles in Vietnam all the time. You see people, it's like hot as hell in Vietnam. They are covered up from head to toe.
Yeah,
wow. They're afraid of getting dark.
Exactly, and makeup there, you don't have no tan oil or that shit. It's all like white face.
I saw
a girl that looked almost damn near like a clown.
Geisha. Geisha.
Almost, just because she wanted her face to be white.
You see how bad white supremacy is?
Yeah, right. It affected the world. Because if you look at Telemundo, all the Hispanic women are light. You don't
see. And I'm seeing Hispanic women darker than you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or you look like you could be from Brazil.
She is.
So my family.
She is. Good guess.
Yeah.
Good guess.
I mean, That's amazing.
You know, but Brazil, there's a lot of Japanese influence there, too.
A lot of Japanese where?
In Brazil.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Jujitsu.
Japanese and Chinese taking over the world.
Yeah. Well, that's how Jujitsu started, because a Japanese guy went to Brazil and started teaching a couple of Brazilians how to do Jujitsu, and then they adopted their own.
And now what is it called?
Brazilian Jujitsu.
Oh, wow.
Are you sure about that?
I
heard it was a different story.
No. Jiu-jitsu is actually the way of the samurai when they don't have their armor on. And that's,
the first samurai was African.
Medicine.
Hey, everything time back to Africa. Yeah.
Everything.
Once
the first egg roll was made in Egypt.
Right.
Right.
I don't know
about
you.
Delicious.
The first nene dance was from Ghana.
Honda was actually made in South Africa.
Right.
I'll show you.
It all starts in Africa.
No, I believe civilization started in Africa. I believe that. And, it all around from there.
There was supposed to be one continent called Pangaea until
you ever notice that the monks, they have knotty, like, twists, like, in the sculptures?
The sculptures? What do you mean?
Yeah, like the sculptures of the Buddha.
The knots in their head. It's like the Buddha.
I don't notice that, no.
And then one big knot at the top.
You mean with hair? You mean with hair or like the skull?
No, the hair.
Probably both. They were fighting.
Because monks don't have hair. Oh, wait, you're talking about
about the Buddha statue.
Oh, I know what you're talking about now. Okay, Okay. That's not the Buddha statue. It's something else, though. But I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, blacks are everywhere.
Yep. Literally. Everywhere getting beat up. Shot.
Now Chinese are taking over. So.
Yeah.
They're trying to take over Africa, as a matter of fact.
Where?
Yeah, they sure are. They sure are.
How?
Chinese are in Africa discriminating against Africans.
What the hell?
It's crazy, yeah.
Well, we trying to get the diamonds too, or what's going on?
No,
all the resources. Yeah. Everybody, like every continent, every major country.
They want the tungsten from over there, right?
Funny that you say that is that I was watching what's the thing called Vice. You guys have watched Vice?
Yeah, I love Vice.
Oh man,
love
it. Yeah. There's this thing about rhinos. How people they're getting hunted down just for their horn.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
This in Vietnam they think that a rhino's horn can cure like cancer and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Wow.
Even there's no physical evidence, scientific evidence that says it. They're out there paying top dollar just to get that, and they're killing.
But they also use it as like a Viagra too.
Oh yeah. It has a whole list of remedies and everything.
Mm-hmm. You know the rhinos are extinct. Going extinct in a lot of places. Like, why don't they just breed rhinos if they need the horn? Like, just like we breed chicken and
they're trying cows. To, but it's just hard to get all of them together and
say do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
they don't understand English. No, I don't know what
there is
that's
one
about.
I heard when I was watching that Vice news thing, there was a guy out there that was actually breeding them. And what he would do is that he would actually cut their nose off because I think it would regrow.
Yeah,
but he'll cut the nose off and just sew it.
The nose or the horn?
The horn. I'm sorry, the horn. Yeah.
The horn nose.
The horn.
Nose is growing back.
just so they can resell it so that they don't shoot these rhinos, but they're gonna need a lot more rhinos in order to compensate for all that.
And how long does that horn take to grow?
I don't know, man. That's the thing.
Like a crusty nail.
Yeah. Like, the body.
Right.
My big toenail just finally grew back after a year.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's take.
I lost it twice.
You lost it twice. Doing what?
Pop locking. Don't you know the story?
What? Tony got jokes. Tony got jokes.
I was training for that American Ninja Warrior.
Did you make it? That's the question.
Nah, I didn't get a call back yet.
I didn't call my agent.
You got a call back.
Oh, God.
And Tony Allen, money later.
They are crazy. We're going to take a little break. For those listening online, if you want to call in and talk, the number is 607-203-5368. Make sure you press 1 if you want to talk. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to the Keno Tri Show.
Do a little something.
Yes, we are back. Hope you enjoyed the break, little Maxwell, a little something, something. That's old school. That's old school now. That's old school. That came out in the '90s. I guess it's considered right. Old school.
Peaches and cream.
You went way
soul.
The late award goes to.
I was at a bar one night recently. Actually, Sweetwater Bar and Grill, where we, you know, go work out on Thursdays. And this white guy was like, man, he came to me. He's like, man, I hate the DJ, man. He needs to play some old school hip hop. You know, at least Let's Get Married or something. I'm like, Let's Get Married? That is so random coming from a white dude who looks like
that's
he grew up in a trailer.
Hip-hop.
I mean, the fast version. First of all, you know this stuff. Yeah, no, I don't want
to. I demand you finish that.
Yeah, no. I don't want to break the internet. No. There you go.
I don't like that fast.
How come you guys never know the words? It's like, this is the chorus.
You don't need to know the words.
Or the first, like, two sentences.
We knew the words when it was hot.
Yeah.
Like, we have been fired and got jobs and been hunted out since then.
Right. Speaking of, was Jagged Edge, one of them just got arrested for something recently. But that's always the case with them. Every few years, one of them get arrested. I don't know if it's Ringo, Dingo. I don't even know what their damn name is.
KCU, JoJo, one of them.
What? Casey and Joe, they was probably in Jagged Edge at some point.
That's hilarious.
Jagged Edge is the new Casey and JoJo. They were like the offspring of them. You know, it was kind of rugged.
Well, shoot. Casey and JoJo trying to make a comeback.
Right.
And they should have stayed where they were.
Yeah.
After All My Life.
I like their new album. This new JoJo's album?
Yeah. I've heard only one single being played on the radio. I don't.
Oh, that's how they going to get. They going to only get one spin rotation to get them. A little bit back, but
yeah, but I mean,
is that KC and JoJo Jodeci?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
wow. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, now you know, Steve.
Is Jodeci the name of the group or the
name of the group?
Yeah.
Oh, what? When did it change it to Jodeci?
It was Jodeci first.
Do y'all deal with that all day?
Oh,
yeah,
that's
KC and JoJo.
He just needs to hang out.
Yeah. How they broke off. Yeah.
He's like our exchange student.
You just tell him what. Okay.
Yeah, trying to bring him up. Yeah.
It's kind of like NSYNC and then Justin Timberlake went out.
Exactly.
Right.
Bam. Oh. There you go. You got it.
Or it's like New Edition and BBD.
Yeah.
Mine's getting blown right now.
I tell you what, if you plan on dealing with any more of my beautiful sisters, you better go buy you some Jodeci, and that's, you'll thank me later.
Here go one, Jody Watley and Shalimar. There you go. Take you way back. If you know that one, that's a trivia question.
He wasn't born.
Yeah, you.
86.
A black girl might take you home that night. You know that
right.
One.
Right.
Wally, what?
Jody Watley. And
Shalimar. I was about to say, you know about Wally, Mark?
He said, Wally.
Did you know, was that? Yeah, the slim dude, he was the one that invented the moonwalk.
The slim dude.
Slim Shady.
Yeah. Michael Jackson, I guess, saw him do it on Soul Train.
Yeah.
Soul
I heard that
Train.
Too.
Yeah.
And took it and made it the moonwalk.
Hmm.
Well, hey, it's Michael's now. Hey, first one to get it to TV. You know, that's the rule of comedy.
That's true.
If you have a joke, somebody beat you to TV with it.
Unless you're using a Jamil Harley joke. I'm gonna do mine all the time. I work hard, baby.
You know, I heard that joke 20 years ago. Where did I hear that joke from?
It's gonna be somebody who's like a comedy aficionado. Like, Chris Rock didn't tell that joke first. See, if you know anything about comedy, it was Jamil Harley in Indianapolis back in '98.
Who? Who is that?
Right. This young boy.
Right. Young Beige is what they called him. See, you don't know nothing about that. See, I'm taking you back and giving you the history.
That's for them, YouTubes.
I'm mad he called you Young Beige.
Oh, that's
that used to be my rap name.
No, that is his rap name. That used to be.
Oh, current. Okay.
My hip-hop.
Yeah, Young Beige.
Having a comeback.
If you don't know, now you know.
I do know. Thank you.
Shout out. So, Tony jumped on me for not talking about her business. So, we'll talk a little bit more about hair.
We've got 4 minutes.
So, anything you want to tell us before we start asking questions? Because our questions can get crazy. So,
I don't know how crazy you can get in 4 minutes. But we're about to do a show. I'm the newest cast member on a TV show. Heading in the ATL. And most people don't know that, and I'm sure they probably still won't after this.
Right. What network is that show on?
It's WeTV.
WeTV.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it about hair or is it something else?
It's about pimping.
Pimping.
Yeah, pimping all day, every day.
All day, every day.
Seriously.
And he believes you. He believes
right.
You.
Okay, all right.
Long stare.
Okay, all right.
Feeling naked right now. You
okay,
stop
all right.
Looking at me, bro.
Okay,
all right. But yeah, it's on WeTV. It's cool. I mean, I'm happy. I'm excited. We start shooting in about, I think, next week.
Okay.
Yeah, and it'll be back on the air next year. Hopefully not during the same time as Scandal, because
oh, yeah.
I'm a Scandal girl.
Oh, well you can, it's TiVo. We got
yeah,
technology
we got
now.
Some DVRs around.
So,
who still has a TiVo?
I mean.
Kino.
I don't watch TV like that.
Kino
but
VCR, what you talking about?
So how does that process go? How do you get selected to be on the show? Is it something you audition for, or is it something you just in the game and somebody comes and
right.
says, hey?
So apparently they asked me to be on the show, or they asked me for an interview or whatever, and I was like, nah, this goes. I'm good. I said no three times.
Oh, wow.
And then they were like, okay, we're just going to come and see you. And I was like, okay, you guys can come and see me. And then the day they're like, oh, but we need you in full makeup and hair.
Right.
And we're going to be bringing video cameras.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, but see, I wasn't per. Okay. So I did the interview on cam, and they thought I was funny. They did a focus group and everything. I was like, really?
Oh, cool.
Hmm.
You got jokes. You got jokes. I can't
about
wait
jokes,
to
see. But got hair, honey. She's got hair. Might not be mine, but.
What were they asking you? Just like questions about your life and just.
They were asking me questions about you.
Oh, yeah? You don't know my name.
See, you don't know how the real story. See, it really came from Steven. No.
They were like, where was Steven?
Speaking of, you said they was asking questions about him. So, in your industry, Asians run hair a lot.
They do. But I'm fighting to kind of kill that. Sorry. Yeah. I know. That's
no, it's cool. It's Koreans that do that. I'm not Korean. Oh.
So that's his fault for saying
and
that.
Okay. I didn't mean to point at you.
It's Chinese and Korean.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's like, a billion-dollar industry?
What part? What,
like a gazillion-dollar industry.
What part are we taking over? I'm not in it. So what?
The lies. They lie to us quite a bit. And I mean, like, all jokes aside, Chinese are really good at lying.
Yeah. No, we are.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys get awards for lying. Oh, no, this is Brazilian hair. No. Oh, no, it's not tangle-free. It's tangle-free. Oh, no.
For
the
listeners out there, that was actually
animal.
Me talking just now. No, I'm saying, what were we – so I guess we're selling
so
you the hair, right?
So what happens is Indians give their hair up, right?
Okay.
To the gods. And
yeah,
you
for
have,
religious. Yeah.
Right?
They've
and
been
then,
duped in that sense to give their hairs up to people.
Right. So they've been whatever, and they Koreans and Chinese, they buy the hair,
mm-hmm.
and then they do some warp shit to it. Can I say shit?
Yeah.
Okay.
You already said it.
Some real crazy ass shit, and they turn it into like whatever they want,
yeah.
and they sell it to black people,
uh-huh.
and they say stuff like, this from Brazil, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah,
that was my best accent. Was it good? No, it wasn't. Okay.
I mean, you know.
I mean,
yeah, you know.
How would you say it?
Oh, yeah. No, you're
how
right.
You see.
No, you're right. You're right. No. You're right, dog. Keep flowing.
I've never heard one of them say that.
And I never heard one of them say that. No, keep it rolling. Boom. Boom.
So what happens is they sell the hair to the black people, and then black people buy it, and then you have, like, middlemen, and they sell it to their people, and blah, 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 blah. Mm. The other thing is the beauty supply store. So what happens is we have free trade, apparently, and you go to China to get, say, for instance, this bottle. It's an amazing bottle, but China would then recreate this bottle, slap another name on it, and then sell it in their stores. And then they would refuse to sell your product in the stores. And it happens all the time. So, it's kind of sucks.
Yeah.
And then you can't even buy the stuff from them. Like, if you had a beauty supply store, you can't even buy from them. They won't sell to you.
No.
Yeah, because they're the first ones to go to India and get all that hair to mess around with.
Some of them, yeah.
Okay.
You have some African.
Which I kind
of
get it. You know, they've cornered the market, and
yeah.
they're supplying goods for their people. So they have kids that are going to college off of our money.
Yeah.
And we don't, I guess,
that's
see a problem with that because
mm-hmm.
we
do see
spending.
A problem, and we know it. We know what's going on. So there's lots of African Americans that are going to India or going straight to China, actually, and trying to get the hair themselves. But the problem is the hair is sucks. Now, if you go to India, it might be better. But if you go to China, if you bypass China or Korea, it's going to suck. It's going to have pesticides. It's going to have formaldehyde. It's going to have silicone. It's going to have retarded glue that makes you break out and cause alopecia. It's insane. Damn. And then they're going to slap a sticker on there that says it came from Malaysia or Brazil or wherever. And you're going to eat it up. You're going to buy it.
Yeah.
That's just a lot of work for hair.
It is. It is.
But it's a trillion-dollar industry. It's
right.
Now,
ridiculous.
Now, I read somewhere, I don't know if this is true or not, that that some of the Korean stores here, like the hair shops and stuff, they'll have, I guess, maybe not a contract, but an understanding with their distributors that you won't sell to anybody within a certain radius of my store. So if you wanted to open your hair store maybe one block from the Korean who already set up and you want to get from the same distributor, the distributor won't sell to you just because they already have a deal in place. And, you know, the Koreans, they
talk.
Conglomerate.
Yeah, yeah. They speak the same language.
They buy, they buy more in bulk. Mm-hmm. And like the thing we said, we don't have a lot of organization when we do things. So you as an individual salon, you may not have the same buying power as these Koreans. So you don't want the distributor don't want to mess up the relationship that he has with the people who are.
Well, let's get this straight. The distributor is mostly China.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you've got Chinese selling to Chinese, and that's kind of how it goes. And if you have a beauty supply store and you want to buy, you almost have to get a Chinese friend or a Vietnamese friend or whoever to speak on your behalf. You can get product.
Wow.
And then they charge you extra.
Of course.
They charge you the black tax.
Yep, yep.
For being so extra
cute. I know the hood stuff.
And so you go to that store and something as simple, I guess you would go to another store, it'd be like $1. And you go to a black store, it'd be $3. Yeah.
Right.
And so you, as a consumer, you got to figure out, do I want to spend an extra $2 or do I want to just go buy this and just keep it moving?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we don't even get to that point where we are trying to buy.
Right.
It's really bad.
Wow.
Yeah.
After watching Chris Rock's Good Hair, like my whole outlook on the whole hair industry just, man.
Yeah, it's a dirty game.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's like drugs.
Yeah.
It's literally drugs.
Yeah. Speaking of drugs, so how do you feel when a parent brings her daughter in
there
and
it's
like
hair.
A little kid? Yeah.
Nope, I don't do it. And there's been people who came in and they're just like, hey, I want to get my daughter. And you can tell that they're like 15, 14. And I'm like, I don't do kids.
Right. Gotta be 18 at your salon.
For me, 18. There's other people that work at the salon that will do a 16-year-old, but typically we try not to go under 16 because after that, that's like hoeing hair, okay?
Yeah.
Like, because those kids want like 30 inches of hair, but they don't realize like that's part of the whole uniform. And if you wear that whole uniform, you could get snatched up after school.
Yeah.
Parents don't even realize that either.
Oh, wow. Right.
And like my daughter, she's in high school, and those girls there, they have, you know, hair down to their butts. And you're like, who are these parents that okay that?
Do you think that does anything for their self-image of who they are, like, when they take all that off? Because I know I talk to a lot of women who they say that they have to have it now.
Yeah. They feel naked without it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost
psychologically, that's sad.
It is.
It's a whole new attitude. You see a girl with a fresh weave come to work, you can't tell her nothing. But the day she having bad hair days, she's cool. And
she's working from home.
Yeah.
How about that? Where's Bernice? She's at home. She's doing that conference call from home. Right. Yeah. But it is. It's one of those things where you feel terrible about yourself. But, I mean, we're really good at what we do. So we make you look good. We make you feel good.
Yeah. Tell me this. I see plenty of women taking selfies, and they got that part this thick right here. Why aren't women? I can't tell them this because now I'm female bashing. Why don't y'all pull them to the side and say, baby, girl, stop it.
Yeah.
Like, it's good. They be putting the filters on and just really, like, giving the dreamy eyes. And I'm like, I can see the crown of your head.
Right.
And so I would imagine up under that, she probably looks like George Jefferson. Like, it's all missing up there.
Yeah. So what happens is they're wearing those lace closures. And those lace closures are probably picked too much. And
taking their hair out.
It's pretty interesting. It's pretty interesting under there. So it is what it is. But they're trying to look cute for you or
but we
other.
Don't like that.
Yeah. I say they do it for other women. I say
they do.
But
you guys have to tell them that they look ridiculous.
And they get slapped.
We do. They don't listen.
And get slapped.
Yeah.
And get slapped.
Because I'm only one person.
listen, I'll tell you when you look ridiculous. But you know, you know my work. It's amazing. We don't have chicks walking around with, you know, big ass parts that you can drive a car through. Like, we don't do that.
Once
like, make a left turn.
Atlanta, I'd never heard of weave because none of the women in my family wear it. And I come from the R&B era where you get to rub your fingers through your woman's hair.
Yeah.
First time I did that hair, I felt some lumps. I was like, babe, are you sick?
Right. You're like, no.
It's not a tumor. Not a tumor.
And then, like, this one particular female, like, her hair is stinking. And I was like, what is wrong with your hair?
Right. Yeah. No, I'm like, what? Because right now, like, the ongoing thing is, like, having hair that smells like feet, like corn chips. Seriously. It goes back to the Chinese and Koreans. They put something on the hair, and we're not quite sure what it is. And I'm actually getting hair tested, so I'm going to find out what all this stuff is. But
feet.
It smells like corn chips. It smells like feet. And when you wet it, it magnifies. Like, you can walk into a store and, like, just smell one girl. She could be like 30 yards away from you, just like that's that.
I want that corn chip number five.
Yeah. Right. Let me get that feet roll on.
I'm gonna get that Fritos.
Yes, and it's terrible. So,
why do they put the hair on this stuff? Is it like preservatives or something? Why
would
you?
It is preservatives and it's pesticides. And so what happens is they mix together and then it sits in like a shipping container on its way to America, and it just kind of sits in there forever and it can't come out. It's like you have to bleach it out. You've got to put Downy on it and put it in a microwave for 3 days. In order for it to not have a smell anymore. And that's the cheaper hair.
Right.
But that's what's on the market now. It's the cheap hair.
So why would you have to treat the hair? What's the lifespan of human hair and it needs to be shipped? What does that look like? Can't you shrink wrap it or something? Like
right.
Put in an air seal pack?
Order for you to get things over into the U.S., you have to make sure that it doesn't have any bugs in it. You know how it is when you're dry.
Right.
You're
yeah.
like, flying in, you can't take plants and things or
right.
Fruit with
right.
you.
Or weed, yeah.
Or in your case, weed.
No.
So you have to make sure that it doesn't have any bugs and things on it. So that's part of the pesticides that are put on it.
It's like seeds now, man.
Yeah.
It's like seeds.
Yeah, seeds. They do the same.
Yeah, but they, because, I mean, hair is protein and it's edible.
Technically.
So
yeah.
People or things eat it and
them lice be all in it. Like,
yeah. I mean, I have gotten, and that's the other thing. They want to make sure that you don't have any lice in the hair. I've gotten lice, I mean, hair from people who had lice in it. And this is early in the industry where they didn't really
regulate it. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're picking up hair and you're like, dandruff? What?
Wait a minute, moving.
Right.
Wait. Hey, I'm here. My
right.
family's in the back.
Yeah, the lice is talking to you. Like, don't remove me. So it is what it is.
So how do you feel about the natural hair movement that's going on?
I have mixed feelings about it. I do. I have mixed feelings because my hair is natural, and my hair is curly like your beautiful wife's wife. But the third one's in the back.
Right.
I have mixed feelings about it because part of me wants to say that's beautiful, but the other part is like, come on now, if I say that's beautiful, who's gonna pay me to put these weaves in?
Yeah,
you know,
true.
You know,
true.
But it's one of those things like some people can wear it, most people can't.
Right, right.
Your wife can wear it. Right. I've seen some naturals, and I'm scared.
We've seen some
well, you
too.
Know,
yeah.
So I just said that I was raised. Around women that didn't wear it, and every one of the women in my family had different textures. The difference that I've noticed between the women that go natural that people say they shouldn't versus what I grew up in, I grew up around women who learned how to do their hair.
Mm-hmm.
These new girls that try to go natural, they don't know anything about hair care.
And that's why they go on YouTube and try to find out. It's all about education.
Mm-hmm.
Your wife, I'm sure, has been educated.
Right, right.
So I can tell you right now, she has reddish hair, kind of like me,
yeah.
Red twins, but that red has already started to relax her hair, which most people don't realize. Anytime you put color in the hair,
uh-huh.
it relaxes the texture.
Okay.
So she's able to have more or better ringlets. It looks better with color.
Right, right.
Now, if she had just her natural hair color, it might be a different texture. Maybe it'd be, you know, kind of shorter or smaller curls. But there's a lot of women out there, and I hate to say it, they look ridiculous. I mean, they do. They utterly look ridiculous.
Yeah, I've seen some bad ones. Yeah, and
they're just like, girl, I'm natural. And I'm like, no, you just didn't comb your hair in the last week.
that's what it is. I mean, it's really giving people license to be lazy, and I hate that.
Well, they was already lazy, though.
But it's way worse now. It's way worse because, you know, when we were growing up, you had to sit still to get your hair combed. You know,
buddy.
You had to get a comb through the hair. We have women who come with naturals to the salon, and they literally have not combed their hair in a week.
Yeah. Wow.
And you're at the shampoo bowl breaking teeth in a comb. Like, it is, the struggle is real. It is real.
And they should know better.
Yeah. And nobody's saying anything. Nobody's saying, hey, listen, you might actually need to twist your hair up at night or comb through it every day. Or, you know, maybe you should just plait it. Maybe you should put some braids in it. But they're not doing that.
Yeah.
They're literally not combing their hair and putting apple cider vinegar in it, which they still don't realize what the pH balance of apple cider vinegar does to your hair, but whatever. They're doing all this extra stuff. They're cold washing because they don't want to put shampoo and parabens and sulfates in their hair. It's like you've got a whole bunch of blind leading the blind.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm all for the natural hair movement. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
Do it right.
Yeah.
Comb
right.
your hair.
Yeah.
How about that? Comb your hair and don't come to the salon and make me comb it for you.
Right.
Because
that's
I'm taking
like
hair
us
out.
Us going to the barber and having to brush our hair. Come on, dog.
Right.
Brush your hair.
You want waves now?
Oh, well, the new thing now is guys are growing their hair out too with the naturals, but they're just getting a lineup and they're not combing their hair out either.
Seen,
so everyone looks like the boondocks.
Well, they can get the guys can get away with it, I guess.
No.
I mean, here's the crazy thing about, and I think I just noticed it when I got to Atlanta. It's probably like that back home. But everybody's a clone here. Like, all the women wear the same weave.
Yep.
And now all the dudes got the same
haircut. Nobody has any sort of individuality.
No.
Everyone has the same side part with the weave in their face like Aaliyah, you know, or that middle with the Kim Kardashian curls. With the wave, I'm Kim Kardashian, and, you know, I just want my hair really pretty.
Hey, that's the power
of
social media.
Last time I went
out
to the club, I saw three women that looked exactly
alike.
The same.
Yeah.
The same weave, the same makeup, same style of clothes, the same heels. And I was like, how do you get selected?
Right.
When
you look just like everyone else.
Right.
But I think that's the whole thing. They want to look like everyone else, so they will get selected. I don't know.
That's interesting, because now I'm thinking about it. I've been looking at myself as to what I find attractive in a woman now. Right now, I just find natural very attractive.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, less makeup, the better.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I found out that I like girls with, like, big sleeve tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
And reason why I realized it is because...
Yeah, let's talk about this. Why?
Well, I think it's because, especially when it's a pretty girl, because you could go through life as a pretty girl and go by just fine, but the fact that she got a sleeve tattoo and people could see that, you know,
we're not really related.
Like she's courageous
in a way, or like she's stepping out of what society wants her to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I'm not a big
part
of society.
But she's actually stepping into what society is telling her she should be because it's trendy.
Yeah.
Because look at it like this. Black guys didn't get into tattooing until Tupac. Beforehand, that was a truck driver biker thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
After Tupac came out, everybody got it. Then after Allen Iverson did the sleeves, now everybody's getting the sleeves. Mm. So
okay.
We actually, in trying to be different, end up being the same.
Well, eventually, when you start something new and it's cool, people are eventually going to jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah,
I mean, you can't be original.
Right, I mean, now, naturals are trending.
Yeah, you could be a trendsetter.
But bad naturals are taking over.
Yeah. It's just like the tramp stand. When it first came out,
it was hot.
It was hot.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know,
you had your grandmother getting a tramp stamp.
No, but the bigger girls got it. And then girls with, wrinkles on the back.
Yeah.
And all, I was like, okay, it's no longer sexy at all anymore.
Stretch marks that look like...
Roadmap? Yeah.
Right.
Damn.
Yep.
Look like a thunderstorm with a little tattoo in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the natural hair movement is real. And I know my significant other, he's like, I love your curl pattern, but is your hair done yet? Like, you know what I mean? Like he's like, you shampooed
he's
your hair. What's next? What's happening after this? You're going to blow it out? You're going to press it out? What are you going to do? And there's days where I wear my hair curly, but my hair is long. I have longer hair, so I can rock that. But for some of the women who don't have that, that
plus
shape
you know what you're
yet.
Doing.
Yeah. Because it's all about shape. When you can't just rock like the Sojourner Truth or Harriet Tubman, you know what I mean, fro.
Right.
You've got to get some shape to it. You've got to get some style, pizzazz. You've got to figure out what your texture is and how to handle it. Because you got some women who just don't know anything about anything.
Right.
And they're walking around and they're proud. And they go, well, I don't understand why guys don't like me. My God. No one's looking at me.
Because you look like Sojourner Truth.
Well, just think, if you're that lazy to where you can't deal with your own hair, just think where that affects the rest of your life. So it's probably not even really the hair. It's probably something else.
Right.
We don't even get to the hair unless it's a really bad weave or something.
Yeah, black women really need to be honest, because we're really moving into this natural phase, because we're like, we're saying that we don't want to be like our white counterparts. You know, we don't want to press our hair. We don't want to be forced to change our image. This is our natural hair. We should want to do what we want to do. But the problem with that, again, is you should educate, and you should also go to the salon and get your hair cut and stop going to YouTube. You know what I mean? You should probably get a shape, because your hair grows, and everybody's hair grows differently. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a different texture of hair. Some, you know, you've got people who have really tight curls, and they're trying to get something that's really loose, and that's not their
hair.
Not gonna
happen with their hair.
It just doesn't happen. And so you're walking around looking lost. And we've all seen these women walking around with the fro and then the flat top in the back. Like, they don't even pick it out. It's just flat right here where they lean against, you know, a chair or something, and it's just flat, and it's crazy. But nobody wants to be honest, you know? No one's just saying, hey, listen, maybe we should just buy a comb.
You know, I've grown really attracted to the women that have the low-cut hair like mine.
Yeah.
And I think that is real sexy.
I think it looks nice on women who have the head for it. Now, I've seen
I agree. Yeah. But if you got the three-pack roll in the back,
Here's the thing about the head. Rihanna has the most rotund, watermelon-shaped head, and she's gorgeous with her short hairstyle.
That's because she's Rihanna. Now,
no.
If she was...
she got that money.
Yeah,
no,
the money, yeah.
Well, the hair, I mean, her styles, they look so good, like, when they cut.
Yeah.
So I think if
she
anybody...
She still has hair on her head, too.
Depending on... Well, I like short hair and the low hair, so... Mm-hmm. But if people would get the certain stylist that would make the hair look good, then I don't think... Just like a dude with bald head, I don't got the head for bald head. Well, first of all, you don't have no hair up top, so you look stupid.
Right, right.
So it would behoove you... Right. To cut it off. And once I see you with a bald head two or three times, I'm going to get over it. Furthermore, it ain't got nothing to do with me. That's your head.
Yeah. People get used to it. I mean.
Yeah. Remember, my homeboy went bald when we was like fresh out of high school. And at first I was like, man, where your hair at? And now I couldn't picture him with hair.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think the biggest thing, too, with the whole natural movement is women have to understand why they're doing it. And I think that it just boils down to people just, it's a trend. It's yet another trend. Just like how back in the day we wore the Jerry curl. You remember that? I know you don't remember that.
No, I saw Straight Outta Compton.
Oh,
yeah,
Straight Outta Compton, yeah.
That was a curly wig.
I'm waiting for the asymmetrical to come back for the women.
I hope that
Stop
never
that
comes back. Right.
I think
I
the difference between the Jerry curl and the natural, though, is the natural is actually more healthier for your hair because the other stuff is causing cancer and
actually
pulling hair out.
Yeah, and I think that's why a lot of women are trying to go natural, too, is because of the whole chemicals and stuff. But the thing about it is some of the stuff they're putting in their hair still has chemicals in it.
Yeah.
And they're
not
going
to be able to get around it, per se, because, I mean, deodorant has metals in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Makeup.
But when you minimize the chemical intake, like when I saw on Good Hair, when that lye, whatever, melted through aluminum can.
Yeah,
buddy.
And then people were giving their daughters that. I was like, oh, that's child abuse.
Yeah.
Now, what's the more cost effective way to wear your hair, natural or with getting it straightened, perm, weaves? What?
Well, I definitely don't agree with relaxers.
Right.
But I would say probably the most cost effective way now is probably the natural. So you probably have a lot of women who are just like pushing a BMW. But their hair, all their money's going to their BMW. So I think that's probably one of the other things. And then I would say pressing it out, to be honest.
Right.
That's
and then you
easy.
Got those women on the bus that all their money goes to their hair. Which is why they're on the bus.
And we welcome you at the salon.
Right. Look, I'm going to take you,
Marta
money.
Station
sorry.
Right up front.
I'm sorry that you don't have a car with your grown ass. But
I'm just curious to know, just in the given... Let's say given year, how much would a African American woman spend on like a weave or doing
too
their
much
hair?
$5,000
in a year.
In a year.
How many times is that?
Well,
a year?
That's the average, because I used to date a girl who spent $1,000 for her weave.
No, she just told you that so you can give her the money.
No. I wouldn't give that girl that money.
I've been that girl too. Like no, the service costs $550,000.
No, but she said that her weave cost her $1,000, and because she would wash it, and I say, why are you washing? Why don't you throw it away? I paid too much money for this.
Yeah, can you reuse weave? Is
you
all
can.
Weave
I mean,
reuse
hair.
Real expensive,
not all hair.
Said.
No, okay. It's the cheap stuff you can. But this is the thing. Like, extensions were meant for the Hollywood industry. You know what I mean? Like, okay. you're playing parts. It wasn't supposed to stay there forever. It was only until African Americans got a hold of it. And they were like, girl, I ain't got to comb my hair for 3 months. And that's how it went. And that, and again, it's another trend. But I think what's happening now, as women hair grows, because eventually those naturals are not going to be so unattractive. They're going to start to become really attractive.
And then the same industries that run it now is going to take over the naturals because we are so inclusive.
Yeah, those relaxers are no joke. Like, you don't even want to get a relaxer. I mean, the amount of people who are going bald, and everyone thinks it's hereditary, but the way that you react to sodium hydroxide or a relaxer, it's almost hereditary. It may not necessarily be hereditary as far as you going through alopecia, but if your family breaks out around the edges, that's how you're going to respond to relaxer. So this is my stance on it. So I make sure that I'm not going against my, natural sisters. Again, weaves are cool. It's a protective style. You can, go back and forth if you want to. If you're going to get a natural hairstyle, get it shaped and do something to it and make sure you comb it. And that's my biggest thing. If you are going to do a relaxer, research that company, because what's happening is the pH balances are changing quite a bit and it's not regulated. So you can start off with a regular relaxer and then it will turn into a super relaxer in the middle of your process. Like, it's so serious because the sodium hydroxide is not, that industry is just not regulated. Mm-hmm. And you will burn out your hair and you will then go bald.
And you will have to. Come see you.
And then you would have to be in my chair. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or go natural.
Yeah.
As natural as whatever natural's left.
Go natural.
Do you remember G-Mare Fire Marshal Bill or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly what it would look like if you had alopecia and you went natural.
Let me tell you something.
You know what? I see women that actually look like that once they take their weave off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why would you keep doing that till you get to this point? So now you have to wear it.
Now you have to.
Why would you do this?
I'm such an advocate for natural hair. Like, you don't even know. I was making people go natural before it was the thing to do. But by that time, I mean, we're talking about, hair that's down to your bra line. Like, that's real cute. Now, the one that's up there, no. But when you're doing those relaxers and you're doing the weaves at the same time, you're gonna have alopecia. Because women are doing them both.
Wow.
They don't understand that you do one or the other. You're doing them both, and that's dangerous.
Who's doing it? The beautician's not telling them this?
I think some of them are doing it at home, because you can buy those relaxers at the store.
So they're at home putting in a relaxer and then coming in, strapping in.
Yes. All day long.
Double duty.
All day long. But, oh, girl, this is braided too tight, girl. I think my edges might come out.
You don't know how many arguments I've gotten into.
We know. We know.
And now that I know that, I feel like calling him like, you a damn fool, and then just hanging
right.
Or just tell him, hey, listen to the Keno Tri Show with Tony Neal.
Right. I just think that everyone just needs to take the relaxers out. Just leave them alone. If you're going to go natural, like I said, use a comb. And if you're going to go use a sew-in, just make sure you don't have the big-ass part in the middle, right?
Next time, I'm just going to walk up to somebody and put my finger in the middle and be like,
how does
Well, cool, man. We got a lot of information out. We're kind of running over time. We didn't want to keep her all night. Tell us where your salon is.
It's we have a couple of locations. We have one opening up off of a Memorial right in Grand Park.
Okay.
And then we have our main one that is in Colony Square, right on the corner of Peachtree and 14th.
Colony Square.
Midtown.
Didn't Shout used to be there?
Yes, Shout.
Okay, Shout is gone, right?
Yeah, V103 is there still.
Okay,
W.
So V103, where Shout used to be. Go see Tony Neal and crew at Salon Theory.
Absolutely.
Salon Theory.
And we will trim your natural. And we'll make sure that your relaxers don't have, I mean, not your relaxers, but your weaves.
That is funny, isn't it? We're going to trim your natural. Can I be first?
Right. We're going to comb your hair.
Right.
We might give
right.
you.
First of all, we're going to start with trim out of here. I got a comb, baby.
Right. That struggle is real. And we're going to make sure that your sew-ins look amazing.
Cool.
Do y'all do short hair?
We do everything. But like I was telling your beautiful wife, we have people who specialize in everything. So you have one specializing in naturals, you have one specializing in extensions, one specializing in cuts, one specializing in color. So you get the best, which is kind of different because most salons you go to is like,
whatever
you
they
do,
got.
They're like, girl, yeah, I can fool them. What do you mean? I got you, boo. That's not what we do. You go to one person.
That was two for highway right there. Yeah.
So Stephen Knowles can come down to your salon. And
I'm going natural now, guys.
Natural what?
I don't know.
Ask that red bone. She'll know.
Well, cool. I want to thank all the people online listening, all the people that called in. We're here every Tuesday at 8 o'clock. Jamil Harley, Stephen Knowles. And I want to thank you again, Tony Neal, for coming through.
And watch my show, too.
Oh, we're definitely going to watch
Cutting
the show.
Cutting in the ATL on WeTV. I think it's going to be on Thursdays.
On Thursdays?
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully not the same time as Scandal.
Not the same time as Scandal. Have to choose.
Well, hopefully it will, and you shut Scandal down.
Right, shut Scandal down.
Yeah.
I don't even like the way he's looking at me when he said that. What's the name? Look believable.
What's the name of the show?
Cutting in the ATL.
Cutting in the ATL.
Cutting in the ATL. Yeah.
Cutting in the ATL on WeTV. Check it out. So I just want to say to everybody, have a great week. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Kino Trice Show. Peace out.
Bruh, bruh.
Lay. Duh. Yeah. Yeah.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. In the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on. Nobody play me. If you are my homeboy, you never have to pay me. Don't even put your hands up. When times is hard, you stand up. L.U.P. the man, cause the brand that the fans trust. So even if they ban us, they'll never slow my plans up. Four for the kids that don't wanna be there. None for the niggas tryna hold them back. Five in the air for the teachers not scared to tell those kids that's living in the ghetto that the niggas holding back, that the world is theirs. Yeah, yeah, the world is yours. I was once that little boy, terrified of the world. Now I'm on a world tour. I will give up everything, even start a world war for these ghetto girls and boys I'm rapping around the world for. Africa to New York, Haiti then I detour. Oakland out to Oakland, got the strip to Detroit. Say hip hop only destroy. Tell them look at me, boy. I hope your son don't have a gun and never be a D-boy. What you see when you look outside your window, brown grass or green grass, picket fence or barbed wire, never ever put them down. You just lift your arms higher, raise them till your arms tired. Let them know you there, that you struggling, surviving, that you gon' persevere. Yeah, ain't nobody leaving, nobody going home, even if